crying holy unto the Lord, crying holy unto the Lord. Oh, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood, crying holy unto the Lord. Father and the Son, and Lord, I ain't no stranger now. Crying holy unto the Lord, crying holy unto the Lord. Oh, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood. Oh, if I could, I surely on that rock where Moses stood.
Woo! Good morning. Today is a good day to have a good day.
Good morning. Let's open in prayer. Jeff, I would just thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us, that we could just gather in this building with fellow believers and just worship you through music and through word. I just pray that everything that's said and done during the service would be honor and glorifying to you. As Jeff comes, Lord, just take away the distractions of the week. Let him focus on the words you've given him to say, that you'll speak powerfully through him this morning. Prepare our hearts and mind to receive your word this morning, Lord. We'll just be with those that couldn't be here this morning. We just thank you for your blessings in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome any first-time visitors. If you are here for the first time, we have brown bags that tell a little bit about our church, some goodies in it back here in the loaf and shed. Help yourself to donuts and coffee, and I think we have cider this morning. Did we have anybody who had a birthday this week? Aunt Susie, you want to come on up? No? We won't shap you.
We won't.
That's right. No, I already said we wouldn't. We won't. Anybody else have a birthday last week? See, we're not bringing up Shep's, so it was yesterday. Awesome. Anybody have an anniversary last week? You did. Well, come on. When? I don't Facebook. The Queen
of Texas.
Oh. Okay. How many years? Awesome. Gina, I'll just say you've got some sticking power, girl. You've definitely got some sticking power.
Amen.
Well, let's sing to these guys. Happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Happy, happy birthday to ya. We hope this little song will do ya. God bless you one more year, and we're so glad you're here. Happy birthday to ya.
Good morning. This time we do.
All our days are numbered, some live on borrowed time. Life is what you make it. Thank God I was so inclined to accept my Lord and Savior when the good news sunk in. He paid a heavenly price by giving his life, and I can't wait to go home to him. Well, I'm ready to go that distance. God only knows when that might be. But oh, what joy waits up yonder. Once this old world sets me free. When there's no more tomorrow and glory has come down. Those without Jesus are lost, never to be found. So please listen when I'm talking. I'm just saying what needs to be said. Make plans while you're still living. It's too late when you're dead. Well, I'm ready to go that distance. And God only knows when that might be. But oh, what joy waits up yonder. Once this old world sets me free. Yes, oh, what joy waits up yonder. Once this old world sets me free. I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
To save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift.
I love to sing your praises.
Your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
To save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Y'all don't get too comfortable. Our walk with Jesus is sometimes running away, but he designs us to follow him. He commands us to take up our cross and follow him daily. And this song is, I've decided to follow Jesus, so let's take up our cross and follow him.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus.
You know, it's an amazing thing that the God who created us would come and live among us just to save us from our sins. And he is our only hope. He dwelt among us, though our blind eyes failed to see. Perfect and blameless, he was born to set us free. He came to save us with love that never fails. Instead of worship, we gave him thorns and nails. Crowned with thorns and nails to a tree. Thorns and nails shed his precious blood for me. Thorns and nails were all part of his plan. God's gracious gift, the only hope for man. He defeated death and crushed the head of sin. The one who is, will be, has always been. When he calls your name, don't walk away. Might not have another chance to turn and say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Well, if you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're still in our series on the model prayer, but we're doing a series within a series on spiritual warfare. Where in the model prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the tactics of the enemy. The tactics of the enemy. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit on the battle of temptation. Anybody face any temptations this week? Yes, yes. It is something that we face every day. And our desire to live like Christ gets confronted with the roadblocks that come from within our own temptations. Because, let me say this, and this is, it sounds like a generic statement, but it's very... Certain statements we call cliche, but they're cliches for a reason. You and I have all of God that we want right now. Do you realize that? You and I have all of God that we want right now. God is willing to give us more, but where we're at in our journey, this is where we say, hey, this is where we're at. And so that's not to say, hey, I'm as a form of beating you up or beating me up, but it's an open thing to say, God, I want more of you. Let's go deeper. Let's go farther. Because one of the biggest temptations in the Christian walk is apathy to God. Would you agree with that? One of the biggest temptations in the Christian journey is apathy to God. Saying, you know, I'm comfortable. I feel like and we compare ourselves to where we were yesterday. And the comparison isn't about where we were yesterday. The comparison is where we're going tomorrow. Does that make sense? And so we've gotten all of God that we want. And the biggest temptation, again, is that becoming that status quo Christian, that letting apathy begin to sink in and set in. And then we compare other people to where we are as if we are the standard. Do you think any Christians do that? Absolutely. But it all comes down to one thing. How much do we love Jesus? And is that love for Jesus enough to get us in uncomfortable places? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but we grow the most when we're uncomfortable. And where's the last place any of us want to be? Uncomfortable. And there's a professor at Wheaton College, when I would go and do a conference there, a guy named Jerry Root, and he talks about the unconditional love of God. And he says that anytime we grow, we're odd. You think about the first time you tried to walk. Do you think a little one looks a little odd trying to put one foot in front of the other for the first time? Right? How about the first time you ever tried to ride a bike? He goes, if you're not odd in some place in your life, it's a sure sign you're not what? You're not growing. If you're not weird, odd, struggling, uncomfortable in certain areas of your life, it's a sure sign that we're not growing. And one of the biggest reasons that we as Christians don't grow is because we have fallen to the temptation of apathy. Of apathy. So I want to speak this morning again on the battle of temptation that we all face every day. Well, what are temptations? Well, let me go through a few of them. Temptations are not sin, but lead to sin if yielded to. Many of us feel that if we're tempted that we've sinned. Well, that's not the case, because Jesus was tempted and he remained what? Sinless. So temptations themselves are not sin, but they lead to sin if yielded to. Temptations are often the halfway house between personal desire to follow Christ and personal rebellion to be in charge. Anybody fall and see that? That it's that halfway house between the personal desire to follow Christ and personal rebellion to reject him. Number three, they are not to be played with or enticed, right? They're not the puppy in the window, right? Temptations seek to kill us and kill that relationship with Christ. Temptations often reveal how we want to set up our own kingdom if we got to be in charge. Right? Temptations reveal the appetites of our own heart. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Temptations allow us to see our weaknesses for what they are and the areas in which we are the most weak. Temptations are only a tool of the enemy, but we have a choice whether to use them. You know that statement that people say, well, the devil made me do it? Yeah, well, the devil can't make you do it. We choose to do what the devil presents in front of us. And the devil's only drawing out what he knows is not God in us. Temptations can be overcome, but they can't be overcome in your authority or my authority, only in God's authority. So let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read these few verses, starting in verse 12. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. There's been many times I'm thinking, Lord, you know more about this than I do, because right now I feel like between a scale of 1 to 10, we're about 15. Anybody felt that way? It says, God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. May God bless the reading of his word. The first thing out of this text that we get is be careful not to trip yourself into temptation. Do you know who is the biggest instrument that Satan uses for us to fall? Ourselves. Look what the scripture says. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. Do you know that some of the greatest spiritual defeats come after some of the greatest spiritual victories? Some of our greatest spiritual defeats come just after some of our greatest spiritual victories. Don't let pride, Paul would say, be your fall. Don't let pride be the foundation of your justification. How many times do we use our own pride to justify why we do something, right? Anybody in here ever get defensive? when our spouse or loved one or whoever calls us out and says, hey, what about this right here? And the first time he goes, I know, right? And there's that posture, we're bowing up a little bit. You know what I'm talking about, right? Of course not. Not this group. It's second service, not first service. I understand. That's why y'all come here. But we often use our pride to be a foundation of our justification. Those who often think they are the most protected against temptation are the weakest to temptation. We ever get that place in our Christian journey where we feel like we've come and we're quote, comfortable, but we won't call it that necessarily, but we're worried about other people and how they might fall? Well, guess what? The target's the biggest on our back. Because when you think you are unable or you would never do this, guess what? You're a prime target for Satan to prove you wrong. How many of us say as Christians, well, I would never do that. We look to other people, how in the world could they do that, right? And all that is just egotistical pride. And what does ego mean? Edging God out. Well, I would never do that. Somebody falls. Have you ever been around those Christians that when other people have fallen to temptation and gotten a world of hurt, and instead of a heart of compassion being expressed through our verbiage, we go, yeah, I knew that was going to do that. You better be around those kind of Christians. Again, I know that second service, right? But the trouble is, it's almost that some Christians gloatfully glee over Christians that fail. And the biggest thing that I got to say to that is, I wonder if they're really Christians. Do they know the redemption blood of Jesus? Because we should never gloat or glee or take any kind of pleasure in the failure of our brothers and sisters. But we often do sometimes, don't we? Many of us will say, I would never. But beware that you may just find that sin on your resume list. Right? I spent a lot of my 20s doing the things I thought I'd never. Anybody relate to that? The things that I thought, I'll never do that. I don't even have an appetite for it. Ha! You take your eyes off Jesus and your appetites can quickly change. Our pride, which says you ought not to others, often forgets that applies first to who? The one who says you ought not to, right? But how quickly we forget that as we're pointing fingers to others, guess what? There's several pointing back to us. And I think the biggest thing we should learn about our pride is our pride is the grease to temptation's wheel. Temptation's wheel spins a lot faster when it's greased with our own pride. Listen to what Proverbs 16, verse 18 says. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Better to be a lowly spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. The one who understands a matter finds success, and the one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. But oftentimes we think that our happiness depends on the things we take the most pride in. William Thrasher says, temptations are an appeal to meet righteous needs in an unrighteous way. I agree with that, don't you? That temptations are an appeal to meet righteous needs in an unrighteous way. Charles Swindoll says, I'm here today to warn you. I want you to watch out for the adversary. Guard yourself from any spirit of entitlement. Refrain any and all subtle temptation to gain attention or to find ways to promote yourself. Do you think that ever happens in church? Yeah. And sometimes it's the leaders who have been, quote, in leadership the longest that this would apply to the most. I'm going to read it again. I'm here today to warn you. I want you to watch out for the adversary. Guard yourself from any spirit of entitlement. What does that mean? Anytime you think you deserve something or it ought to happen to you, guess what? You have fallen into Satan's hands. And how many times do we see this amongst the brotherhood? You know, I've been here, Jeff, a long time. I should be in leadership. Or I'm so old. I've been a Christian for so many years. I should be in leadership. No, you shouldn't. Right? The fact that you bring that up is a sure sign you shouldn't be in leadership. Does that make sense? But there are a lot of Christians that think that way, and then they don't get chosen. They get their feelings hurt over stuff. No, what does the proverb say? Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. Than to divide plunder with the proud. The second thing, not only should we be careful not to trip ourselves into temptation, but we must be warned of the power of temptation. Temptations don't come in a dark, ugly cloud across the horizon where we go, ugh, that looks terrible. Temptations are just the opposite. Temptations are beautiful. Temptations are appealing and desirable. Otherwise, they wouldn't be what? Tempting. The temptations that we face are a sure sign of our own weakness. The tempter knows exactly what appeals to sinful humanity. Satan is not inventing the wheel, so to speak, with temptations, but is only appealing to the lack of God he knows that is within us. He's appealing to the lack of God that he knows that is within us. If you don't want to fall into temptation, don't get close to the edge of temptation. It's interesting in working with people and knowing my own heart, how many times have we tried, we fall into temptation and there's been road signs along our journey going, be careful, stop, dead end, right? And we keep going and all of a sudden life hits us and we go, imagine that. Anybody been there? And the Lord's been placing these temptation signs in front of us going, don't go there, right? How many times have I worked with people going who had an affair on their spouse? Well, did you just wake up one day and have the affair? No. That's the truth. But they'll go, just one day I just kind of woke up and it would just happen. Well, let's go back into your story a little bit. Well, when you're putting yourself in temptation's way, guess what? No person is strong enough to do it themselves, are they not? Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. We must learn by experience to avoid either trains of thought or social situations, which for us, not necessarily for everyone, lead to temptation. There are certain trains of thought that maybe some of you can be on that's no temptation, but I may not need to be on because it may be a temptation to me or vice versa, you see? Like motoring. He says, don't wait until the last moment before you put on the brakes, but put them on gently and quietly while the danger is still a good way off. Right? People would come into my office when I was counseling and they would already be in relapse mentality. And I would go, so when did you relapse? And they're like, look at me at relapse. They go, what? I'm not using. I'm in treatment for crying out loud. I go, oh, no, you haven't used because you haven't had the opportunity, but your mindset is already back in addiction. You see? A person doesn't relapse when they take the drug of choice. They've relapsed when they've put themselves back on the journey to their drug of choice. Does that make sense? And so the same thing, and guess what? We're all addicts in here, whether you like it or not. Because we all have that drug of choice. Some of them are not socially unacceptable. Many of the ones we struggle with are the ones that are socially acceptable. That even will get a clap oftentimes in church. Right? How many times do we want to make things about ourselves or a performance or this, that, or the other? And it feeds the ugliness that's maybe within us. And Satan is appealing to these things. Temptation grows in power the more we yield to it. Anybody say amen to that? You ever think about that thing that you did for the first time and you thought, I don't know if I should do this or I don't want to do this, but that second time sure was easier to yield to it than it was the first time. You didn't think about it quite as long the second time as you did the first time. Anybody relate to that? And that third time, you're not even thinking about it at all. Temptation grows the more we yield to it. Listen to what Alexander McLaren says. The temptation once yielded to gains power. The crack in the embankment which lets a drop or two ooze through is soon a hole which lets out a flood. And which is it easier to address in regards to a dam? that little crack or when the levee gives way. It's a lot easier to maintain and give maintenance to our spiritual life than it is to try to, quote, recreate it. Be careful not to blame God for temptation, because it is the evil that is within us trying to be drawn out within the temptation. John Owen says, temptations and occasions put nothing into a man, but only draw out what was in him before. What was in him before. I mean, think about the first temptation that Satan gave Jesus. Jesus had been out in the wilderness without food or drink for quite some time. And what was the first thing that Satan tempted him with? Physical nourishment. Right? He saw where his weakness was and attacked him there. Satan knows exactly what your weakness and what my weakness are, and he will attack us there. That's why I don't really give a lot of examples about what are tempting, because our temptations are different because we're different. But the battle of temptation is the same for all of us. A.B. Simpson says, one of the best results of temptation is that it shows us what is in our hearts. It shows us what is in our hearts. Listen to James chapter 1 in verse 13. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. So who can blame God for the temptation? No one. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by what? His own evil desires. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to what? Death. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 15:19. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. From within the heart. And so what does temptation do? It doesn't put anything inside of us. It's only drawing out what's already there. And so going back to A.B. Simpson, one of the best results of temptation is that it shows us what's in our heart. It shows us what needs to be purified within us. Temptations reveal to us the areas we need to become holy, the areas we need to strengthen within ourselves only with God's help. So there is a positive thing that we can get out of being tempted, is that it shows us areas we need to focus on. Billy Sunday says, temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding to temptation is opening the door and inviting him in. How many times have we sat there metaphorically in a chair, opening and shutting the door to Satan? We open it and quickly shut it. Open and quickly shut it. But he's like a good salesman. He'll stick his foot in the door sometimes once we give way. Anybody relate to that? You see, actions and behaviors don't start with actions and behaviors. They start with unholy thoughts that may just be a reflection or a glimmer within the mind one day, but may set up camp to be the whole point of living another day to those who have fallen to temptation. And I think we've all been there. And the last and final thing, not only should we be careful not to trip ourselves into temptation, but we need to be warned of the power of temptation, but we need to be sure God is faithful in our temptations. What does it say? So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. And then Paul says, God is what? He's faithful. And what does the word faithful mean? He shows up when he has every reason not to. That is what faithful means. He shows up when he has every reason not to. We often, quote, feel that God is far away when we are tempted. But be assured, God is never closer to us than when evil is on the prowl for us. I'm going to read that again. We often, quote, feel that God is far away when we are tempted. But be assured, God is never closer to us than when evil is on the prowl for us. And oftentimes, the reason we feel that God is not present is because we're trying to detect God's presence through our feelings. But our feelings at that point are being manipulated by what? Our temptations. Do you see? When we, quote, feel abandoned by God and weak to temptation, we must remember at that point we are still within the reach of God, even though we may be outside the reach of ourselves. Does that make sense? is that we realize that we're always within the reach of God when we may be beyond the reach of ourselves. Our own strength can't cut it for us anymore, can't rescue us. God will give you strength and support if we only look to Him and not to our own strength. And I go back to the question I've often asked, how hard is it for you and I to ask for help? Do you see? Goes into that tag team illustration I gave a few weeks ago, is that we want to wrestle with Satan and temptation ourselves when we ought to quickly learn from past failures of yielding to temptation, is that as soon as we sense temptation, we need to go reach out to the Lord. And how do we reach out to the Lord? Let me ask you this. Do you have an accountability partner? Do you have somebody that you can go to and say, you know what, here's what's going on? And I would say most Christians don't have an accountability partner, because too many Christians think they can do it by themselves. And the truth of it is, we need somebody that we know and trust that is following Jesus, that may be a spokesman for Jesus in our hour of need of temptation. Amen? Someone to say, you know what? I love you enough to tell you what you don't like, because I love you enough to tell you what God says is true about the situation. We got too many people that want to say yes to us, and not too many people who will love us enough to say, what are you thinking? Right? Everybody in this room has a blind spot. We all have a shadow self. I have two accountability partners that I can call at any time and say, here's what's going on. One guy's Charlie Clements, and the other guy's Buddy Horn. Because the truth of it is, if I say I'm serious about growing, then I must be serious about confronting the dark things that are within me. And if you're serious about growing, you need to be serious about confronting the darkness that's within you. Because what is temptation trying to draw out? Not the light, but the darkness. You see? God will give us strength and escape the way He knows we need it, not always in the way we expect it. Have you experienced that? That God will give you that way of escape, but it may not be the way that you expect it. Should we fall to temptation, don't wallow in shame, but allow the Lord to reach down and pick us up through our own repentance and run from the place of weakness and hide in His strength. I'm going to read that again. Should we ever fall to temptation, we don't need to stay there and wallow in shame. I've had people come and say, this is what I've done, and da-da. And you can see the wheels wanting to wallow in their own shame. And Satan loves it, because shame is like quicksand. Oftentimes, the more you try to get out of it, the deeper you dig yourself in it. Does that make sense? We don't need to wallow in shame. God is not punishing us in that way. But we need to allow the Lord to reach down and pick us up out of that shame through our repentance. So says the Bible. And run from our place of weakness and hide ourselves in His strength. Never stop giving ourselves to God in prayer and His word. And Satan can only be stopped by the authority of God's word, not your own authority, or how well you think you're a Christian, or how faithful you've been all these years. And people want to say, and I've seen this 1,000 times in church community, well, you know, I was pretty faithful back there in 1996. I mean, I was the one that I led this and I did that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So what? So what? I mean, I want to say sometimes to people, do your lips ever get cracked from tooting your own horn all the time? Because, again, where does sometimes our spiritual defeats come from? Right after our spiritual victories. Do you think that happened to King David? More than once. Matthew 4, when we look to the temptations of Jesus, in Matthew 4:4, 4:7, and 4:10, every time the enemy came to tempt Him, what was His response? It is written. And He was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. It is written. Let me just say this. If you don't know what's written, you ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of defeating a temptation. And so many Christians are biblical illiterate because we won't spend enough time just reading God's word and letting God's word begin to read us. Does that make sense? It saddens my heart to hear how many Christians, Christian leaders particularly, who don't spend a regular time with God in His Word. And we come up with all these stupid cockamamie justifications as to why not. And I don't know if you know this, but God has provided about every way possible for God's Word to get in us. Man, we got more Bibles than we can purchase in a lifetime. We got apps. We got Bibles on CD. I mean, we must get over ourselves and get into God's Word. If you don't know what is written, let it be no surprise if you fall to temptation. Because we'll all fall at some point to temptation, even when we know God's Word. Amen. With each temptation, give your life over to prayer and communion with God's Spirit. George Mueller says this, "It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the Word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone. As if it were of no use to read the Scriptures when we do not enjoy them, and as it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer." I believe that all 66 books of God's Word is inspired. I will say that some parts are more inspiring. Right? But we need to commit ourselves to know God's Word because it has real meaning. The problem is not the Bible can't be understood. The problem is we don't spend enough time trying to understand it. We don't spend enough time trying to understand it. John Owen says, "To believe that He will preserve us is indeed a means of preservation. God will certainly preserve us and make a way of escape for us out of the temptation should we fall. We are to pray for what God has already promised. Our requests are to be regulated by His promises and commands. Faith embraces the promises and so finds relief." And George Whitfield says, "The riches of His free grace cause me daily to triumph over all temptations of the wicked one, who is very vigilant and seeks all occasions to disturb me." I close with this. When speaking of temptation, many people will say, "Well, how could Jesus truly be human if He never sinned?" And the response there is, Jesus is the only one who has experienced what it means to be truly human. We fall too quickly. Amen? Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. "No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good." A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. That is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not giving in. You find out the strength of a wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight against it. And Christ, because He was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is the only man who knows to the full what temptation means, the only complete realist. And I close with Rick Warren. He says, "Every time you defeat a temptation, you become more like Jesus." Every time you defeat a temptation, you become more like Jesus. Is it a real battle to fight against our temptations? You bet. And here's the thing. And when we see brothers and sisters, including ourselves, fall, instead of gloatfully or gleefully, boastfully looking down our noses at them, we need to humbly look up our noses because we've stooped down to try to pick them up. Does that make sense? I heard it once said that Christians or Christianity is the only army that often kill their wounded. We need to reach down and rescue them. And may God use our lives to strengthen others, and may God use others to strengthen our lives. It's a real battle, but it can be defeated only in the strength of Jesus. Amen? All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, we do thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for the gifts You've given us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, most of all for Your presence in our life, Lord, that when temptation comes, Lord, it does reveal our weaknesses. It does reveal the temptations of our own unholiness, but it also reveals areas that we need to learn in, to grow in, to be sanctified in. And we just pray that Your Holy Spirit living within us, Lord, would would take these weak areas and make them strong. Lord, as your servant Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And help us to live in our weakness, Lord, that your strength may be available, Lord, because when we think we're strong, it's when we're the most tempted to fail and often do. May we look to others who are struggling, and may we, Lord, arm in arm, latch our life to theirs, Lord, that power may be there in the numbers of your community. And Lord, love that person and speak truth to that person, that their weakness may become a stronghold for you. Forgive us now where we have failed. And Lord, may we not wallow in shame, but may we find victory in the victory that's in Jesus and Jesus alone. And God's people said, amen.